is The Sunny Side. My name is Joyce.
Tune in to The Sunny Side with Joyce every weekday from 12 to 3 p.m.
Expect so much fun right here. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
We're like gold diggers.
Oh yeah, good afternoon to you, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome to The Sunny Side. The sun rises here, and I thought to remind you that there's actual theater to be enjoyed. Unfortunately, there's COVID, but even much more terrifying than that will be the situation as we have it right here at home in Nigeria. Well, you just heard the theme song for The Pirates of the Caribbean. Actually, a beautiful piece by Hans Zimmer. Oh yeah. So maybe when you get the time, and I really think you should make time for some art in your heart, make time to enjoy art. I think it really just, it's a kind of nutritional addition to your soul. And when I can, every time I can, I'll remind you of art in order to help sustain the physical projection of the human soul. On The Sunny Side, welcome to the show. My name's Joyce. Today, all right, so Southern governors met. And yesterday, they had the conversation. Well, I hope you didn't even miss Sheriff's show because he spoke on that. As much as I want to speak on it, I think first, I don't want to get a little too happy with the outcome of that particular meeting. I think first, I'm even glad that they're meeting. Secondly, they have a whole lot of work to do as far as playing their role or upholding their part, the end of the bargain, in order to ensure the security and stability of this country. Like, they have an awful lot of work to do. All right. But yesterday I did mention, you know, that we're going to speak about banditry again. Oh, yeah. Banditry again. Again, because it's happening and it has happened. Again, I was just about to share with you an audio clip from El-Rufai. So basically, it's him saying that he's had to withdraw two of his children, two of them, from school. And he did that on some intelligence report that kidnappers intended to invade the school where his children, you know, school, and would intend to kidnap his kids. And they pretty much wanted to test his mettle by finding out whether he wouldn't pay ransom if his children actually got kidnapped. And, well, that happened Friday, June 3rd. By June 4th, news had it that armed bandits had abducted, babies, nurses, and security guards from the residential quarters of the National Tuberculosis and Leprosy Center in Zaria, Kaduna State, July 4th. By July 5th, we hear bandits in the early hours of Monday invaded the Bethel Baptist High School, somewhere, you know, in Kaduna State, whisked away no fewer than 140 students. Now, when you whisk away, you know, 140 students, you know, somewhere in my mind, I keep asking myself, 150 people, like 50 students, that's a large number of people. And then I imagine the number of these guys who come and successfully whisk away more than 50 people. 50 students, 60, 70, 100, 130, 140 human beings away. A teacher in the school, Emmanuel Paul, in an interview said 140 students were abducted by the bandits who attacked the school located along the Kaduna-Kachia Highway at 1 a.m. They came at 1 a.m. and made away with 140 students, he said. However, the police said a few hours after the abduction, security agents rescued 26 of the abducted students. The abduction generated angry reaction from Pentecostal Fellowship of Nigeria and their Christian Association of Nigeria, Kaduna Chapter. The groups, in separate interviews, did urge the federal government to find fresh strategies to stop incessant abductions in the country. It is such a pattern, you can nearly call it customary. It's such a pattern. And it's really difficult because you want to find, well, what's the method to the madness? Well, this is exactly what we're going to be talking about this first hour. Unfortunately, you might think, well, you're tired of talking about it, but maybe the whole essence of the conversation is, what's really happening and to what degree can this happen or continue to happen before something is done? And when I say something get done, it's an open-ended statement. Like, something get done, it could be good or it could be bad. I mean, we're hoping that the worst doesn't happen. I saw a video this morning of parents of abducted children praying. And it breaks my heart because there are many things prayer can do. Actually, there are an awful lot of things prayer will do. But at this point in time, as much as prayer is needed, actual work is needed on ground to bring an end to kidnapping in this country. It's like, I mean, I don't want to call it a sector, but at this point, doesn't it just look like another wing of it? Like, I mean, wouldn't you refer to it as a sector, a thriving sector for that matter? After this, we're going to be considering something else El-Rufai said, which was he compared the actions of, the bandits to IPOB. And I want to see whether we can draw, whether by agreement or disagreement, some logicality from something that he said. He assumes that one is a greater threat than the other, except we want to find out whether he's correct. That will be our second hour. So welcome to the show, this very beautiful, wonderful. Yeah, it is, regardless of what's happening. Wonderful. It's Tuesday afternoon on 99.3 Nigeria Info. We're off on a break. When we come back, the telephone lines will be open. I want to know exactly what you think about kidnapping and the fact that, well, now the governor himself has had to withdraw his children from school. We'll be right back.
We're like gold diggers, tunneling through the mishaps and the handicaps.
I don't know what to cook for them. I don't know what to give them to eat. That is the issue at hand as I speak right now.
In the name of the good, we hope to earn the truth and be worth our weight in salt.
Every night, every night, and there, we will hear 1 million boys, 2 million boys, 3 million boys. Come on, people. People won't have no money. You're supposed to find it where people can follow you. Everybody can follow you. Go the rich and those poor.
The Sunny Side with Joyce.
The Sunny Side with Joyce.
Weekdays, 12 to 3 p.m. on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
My son is registered in the school, and my daughter, because his sister also became 6 years of age, and we've registered her in the school. But we've had to temporarily withdraw them for the security of the school, because we got intercepts from at least two groups that are planning to attack the school to kidnap my son. I don't think they will succeed because there will be enough security there to prevent it, but other children may be placed in danger. We have no idea what weapons they will come with. I have taken a stand against paying bandits, and at least three groups of bandits have been intercepted planning to go to Capital School and kidnap my son and see if they catch my son, I go say I no go pay ransom. So because of that, we've had to take him out to resort to homeschooling, but he's still registered in the school and he goes to take his exams. His sister has also been registered in class one, she has not been going either because we haven't had the intercepts about her. However, as soon as we have reasonable confidence that his attendance in the school will not put the school at risk, both of them, both Abubakar Sadiq, my son, and his sister, Nasreen, will be back in that school. It is my intention that my children will be in public school so long as I am governor here. Of course, when I finish my term, I move out. I intend to leave Kaduna when I finish. I'm not going to stay here. Well, I have to show the people of Kaduna say that I have enough confidence in the public school system to have my own children there. And I intend to keep that promise. It wasn't a political statement I made, and that's why many people were surprised when I personally took Sadiq to the school.
Yeah, you can tell exactly what he means by saying that he'd had to withdraw his children from school. And that's exactly what a father would do. But then when you look at the reports coming out of the North, Kaduna particularly, you realize, well, what does the common man have? Upon whom does he lean his back? Where does he put his faith? And how many more times does he need to have his life threatened before something gets done? You must also remember that Governor El-Rufai, during the Jonathan dispensation, did say that the government must do everything that it could, everything that it can, to rescue the girls, including considering the option of paying bandits to rescue the girls. In fact, he did say that if Jonathan's daughter was kidnapped, would he not pay ransom? At this point, I think there's something even deeper than just the paying of ransom. There's something a little bit more calculated. Some of you say it's political, but it's quite obvious now that there's something deeper than rap happening here. Yeah. Because, look, you know, it's something when, you know, we say, well, something is happening and it's happened once, twice, three, four times, and then we see an end to it. But this pattern, the method to this madness, and words fail me because I really cannot imagine having a brother kidnapped or a sister or a son. But it's that here again, once again, Nigeria, you are living in a nightmare. Well, you might not say, you would say, well, it's not even happening in Lagos. You know, we just hear the gist. But I don't know what you call this. If there's a name for it, 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. I don't want to play you the tears and the agony recorded of parents crying, praying to the heavens for their children. Remember the last time we spoke about parents crying and praying? It was of parents who said that they gave someone 800,000 naira and the person said, this is transport fare. And eventually they sold everything that they had to have their children rescued. They say, well, the government is not doing enough. And it's difficult to even give you one singular question as far as this particular pattern goes. But maybe what I can ask you is, Nigeria, what do you say? On Nigeria Info, let's talk. Hello, welcome to the show. Good afternoon. What's your name?
Good afternoon, Joyce.
Welcome. James, we're happy to have you.
James from Solo.
Go ahead.
Naturally, El-Rufai is an attitude fighting Christian in southern Kaduna. Many people lost their lives there. It's about to happen to him. So he's, very soon he will pay for it. All the bad thing that he's doing in his government, it will soon happen to him.
What do you think he's doing? He appears to himself have just escaped the claws of, you know, kidnappers or bandits.
And actually, El-Rufai, not his administration, is problematic.
Oh, the administration.
He himself is a problematic person. He speaks violence, and it's about to happen to him. Maybe he will not leave there. I've already said that he will leave Kaduna. Let him leave. See, Saddam Hussein, former Iraqi president, when he was in government, he did many things, killed many people. At the end of the day, they captured two of his children.
Are you saying that El-Rufai is a kidnapper? That would be inaccurate.
He's not a kidnapper. He's killing. He's fighting Christians in southern Kaduna.
Yeah, but he is not the kidnapper. They're bandits who are committing these atrocities. Do you understand that?
When you fight somebody, another person will come to fight you. So they fight against Christianity. We'll fight him.
Well, thank you very much for your contribution. Some might agree or disagree with you. Let's hear you. Good afternoon. Turn off the volume of your radio set. Turn off the volume of your radio set. I'll appreciate that. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Hello.
Hello, Joy.
Welcome. What's your name? Good afternoon to you. Okay.
You see now.
What? I'm sorry, I cannot hear you. If you can call back, that'll be great. Good afternoon. Sorry, I lost you. If you make it back, that'll be great. We're Nigeria Info. Good afternoon. What's your name?
Good afternoon, Joy.
Welcome. Real quick, tell us your name. Go ahead.
My name is Tayo.
Great.
Joy,
this should be the biggest news for today. In fact, I wouldn't expect anybody to discuss anything.
Sir, I lost you. If you ever make it back, we'll be here on the sunny side where Nigeria Info. Good afternoon to you. Turn up the volume of your radio set.
Hello, Judge.
Welcome. What's your name?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
This is Pastor Ladipo calling from Orilego. Now, my take this afternoon with what RFI is doing. You see, if a man is unstable on his ways, so also things will be unstable around him. This same person came up the other time and told us he paid bandits not to kidnap again. This same person came up again and said something else. I remember the last time the wife said that if she's kidnapped, that nobody should pay ransom. Now, they can't even leave their own child. Look at his conclusion that after his tenure, he can't stay in Kaduna. Why now? Why not resign and leave? Because you can't provide...
No. You misunderstand that. Okay. Usually when a person works somewhere, they have a retirement plan. Some go to their villages. Yes.
So if his retirement plan is not to stay in that state, that means he has not even done well for that state. Because as a good person that has done well for his state, his retirement plan should be, I will stay in my state.
No. To be honest with you, no. We need to separate
George, let me tell you something. Should be Obasanjo retired. Where is he staying? Otta.
But that's his choice. If I retire from... Wait, excuse me. No, you're not listening. Wait. You must understand this. I can. If I retire from Nigeria Info today, I'm going to Italy. I've said that many times. Are you going to say, well, because I didn't fix Nigeria, I can't go there?
You as an individual can choose wherever you retire to. But a public servant who has governed a state, if he has put the state in order security-wise, that's this.
No, you're infringing on his choices. I disagree with you. You are infringing on his choice. We're speaking on banditry.
See, what he's supposed to do for banditry now is to make sure if they keep the state safe. Now that he's
beautiful, that's a different argument. But he can decide whether he wants to move to Umuahia. Yes. He can decide if he wants to go to Enugu. He can decide if he wants to go to Saudi Arabia. You cannot infringe on a person's choice.
That is his choice. What about those who don't have such choice to make?
No. I'm asking you to separate it. Well, it's one thing to disagree with me. It's one thing to understand the argument. You don't understand your argument.
I understand. Lastly, let me quickly say this. You see, this has been the way we've been governed in this nation, where we have people occupy positions. Even while they are there, they won't do so much. The moment they leave, it's either they will write a book or they relocate and tell you that is their choice.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with that.
Thank you and God bless Nigeria.
Well, this is looking like it's going to get all over the place. So hold on a second. Let me say something, that there is what he does as a governor in a state. Then there is his choice as a human being. I'm saying you cannot infringe on his choice as a person. He can decide, I want to pack my kids and go to wherever the sun don't shine. That's a personal choice. So I'm asking you to separate his choice to choose or not to be in Kaduna from the fact that there's something happening in Kaduna, and unfortunately it's happening under his nose, and people have to maybe blame him or maybe work with him in order to fight this thing. I don't know what this thing is, but it's looking like something. Hello, welcome to Nigeria Info.
Hello, George, it's me, Noe.
Okay, welcome.
Look at the way it's talking from the beginning to the end. Just hear what you think. They say they will come to the school and kidnap the children. How did he get information? How did he know that bandits are coming to come and kidnap?
Well, he's in power. There's intelligence.
Okay, that means the thing just shows now. It's showing now that they are getting information that bandits are coming to kidnap people. That's what the book shows now. They are coming to come and kidnap. You're understanding me now.
Okay.
Okay, now he now says another one again that he makes me at the vibrate here now.
Why?
He said that that inside the children are not safe. that that's why he went to collect the children.
But he also said that the children of other people will not be safe if he left his children there.
Yes. You see that statement he made? They need to arrest some kind of governor the way they do it. Let me tell you something. For him to make that comment, that means assuming, let's say they kidnap children now and from that place, it doesn't confine them. Cry as you like. Let the people cry as they like. It doesn't concern them. That's why he went to remove the children. If the children are really in that school, am I communicating?
I'm listening. I'm listening.
You see this thing that these people are doing, eh? If you like, make them carry their children and come up from there, eh? Should be the pass road.
So I don't want you to say that because you are assuming that, you're waiting for them on the road. They can choose to fly. They have the capital, they have the economic means to do that.
Joyce.
Yeah.
See, I know that they said people should not be talking.
You're not listening to me. That's not even the point. I'm asking you, I'm telling you that he can fly. He can choose not to take the road. We're talking about the problem. Do you think there's something he's not doing?
But you know that what he even said was wrong. The children, he knows that the children in the school are not safe. And the people born those ones now. Since you know the information, you would have pulled the school down.
Very good. Now you've made a point. No, I thoroughly do. I thoroughly do.
Because he's like,
I actually agree with that.
I will not know what to do because first go carry the 9 months. Joyce is loving you is the key. Take care.
Oh, thank you. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Well, hopefully we can extract. We'll separate one from the other. We'll try. Hello, welcome to 99.3 Nigeria Info. You're on the sunny side. How are you? Turn off your radio, please.
Hello.
It's not necessary that you have the volume of your radio up. So we're asking you to turn it off, please.
Oh yes.
Welcome. What's your name?
Kidnapping.
Turn off. No. Okay. So I think you want me to say it again. I don't even think that's necessary. Please turn off the volume of your radio set. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
We're happy to have you. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you. I'm Augustine James.
Thank you very much for calling.
It's about what the El-Rufai is saying.
Yeah.
You know, the atrocity he has committed, that is why he wanted to flee away after his tenure.
What atrocity are you talking about?
Let me tell you the reality. I'm from the Southern Kaduna.
Okay.
Whereby every day by day we face all this kidnapping and killings.
Yeah.
We have sometimes even the army will come and search all the villagers and collect all the little ammunition they used to protect themselves. After that, 2 or 3 days, you see those people will come and attack that village. And once they attack the village, they know that the people will retaliate. He will then send military again or he will put curfew. This is what we have.
Oh, I lost you. Wow. I hope you make it back. I really hope you make it back. Well, 99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. If you have just tuned in, welcome. I just shared with you a situation coming out of Kaduna. It's one of many. In fact, international news is saying that this is probably the 10th since December. I even think it's more. Because between 3rd to 5th, there's been 3 cases where, you know, people have been kidnapped. The sunny side. Welcome to the show. What's your name?
Good afternoon, Joyce.
Good afternoon. We're happy to have you. What's your name?
My name is Chris. I'm calling from Amuwa.
Thank you very much. Go ahead.
I hope you can see how predisposed or biased people are in terms of not wanting to see anything good in Mr. El-Rufai.
Hold on a second, my friend. You can't quite blame them because, you know, when a person has suffered repeatedly, it's a little difficult for you to tell them that the man in power is not the enemy. So do you understand that there's a sentiment there?
It's important for me to tell the last caller that the Southern Kaduna crisis between Christians and Muslims predated even before El-Rufai was born. And he has done his best to try and remedy that. Zamani Lekwot, Zangon Kataf in particular, has been on the news even before I was born. So you now wake up tomorrow, your father tells you, this, and you think it's El-Rufai's fault.
Yeah, but you see, at this point, somebody has to. We have to hold somebody accountable. Do you understand?
Hold somebody accountable, but you also trace the historical fact that this guy has been pre-existing. So because he is not able to solve the problem, he has committed atrocities.
But do you understand? But do you think that it's do you would you absorb him of that? Let's be honest. Some people have died. Let's be honest. People have lost lives and properties. But do you understand that, Dale?
What you ask is during his tenure, what has he been able to do? People don't critically look at things. At this point, Kaduna is a place we have to cry. We have to have pity for the citizens, including the government.
No, pity is not good enough. To be honest with you, okay, we can't do that anymore.
We have to feel for that state. Whether the government, whether the people, we have to feel for that state. We should show our human sympathy. There was a problem in France. All Nigerians were praying for France and posting it on their DP. Why don't we highlight the problem in Kaduna and leave El-Rufai out of it?
Is it possible to leave El-Rufai out of it?
No.
It's not possible.
Leaders are meant to be encouraged.
Even the president said you should hold your governors accountable for what's happening in your state.
When it's overwhelming on government, when it's overwhelming on them, you show responsibility, you show citizenry by supporting them.
All right.
No matter how bad it is.
Now I don't even agree with you. You know what? We're going to go off on a break. Let's come back. 99.3 Nigeria Info. We'll be right back. All right, back 99.3 Nigeria Info. Well, this is a very, very compelling tale. Actually, it's tale after tale after tale out of Kaduna. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk about what is happening in Kaduna. Now, we must also admit that it's not just the kidnapping is not only happening in Kaduna. We're saying that there's insecurity. But unfortunately, the last few days, Kaduna has been in the spotlight again, Nigeria. 0700-993-993-993. Welcome to the show. What's your name?
Yes.
Welcome.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Speak up. Tell us your name.
Yeah, Ezekiel from Ekwe.
Thank you.
Joyce, when a man loves Carter, he hangs up in disaster. Mm-hmm. El-Rufai does not have any element of what is called being a leader. It's when you are a leader, you are meant to be responsible. And not being responsible alone, you're responsible and accountable to your people. You see, how you get, the Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, we have had several statements he had made as regard banditry, kidnapping, and all sorts. Now, you are now coming to say that because of the fact that, yes, looking at the situation on ground, if your children are being kidnapped, what will you do this and this? I can tell you, Joyce, it lacks ethos. And you know the danger of this? Joyce, I keep saying this. These things can't happen in the Southwest. Hello?
We're with you. Go ahead real quick.
The reason why I'm so confident that this cannot happen in the Southwest is because we have a large mind. No matter how corruptible our headers might have been, even individuals, I can tell you, will nip it in the bud. 100%. That's why I've come to know that the people there in Kaduna have actually, regarded as elders, have soiled their hands even with the governor. Because I can't, you can't tell you to Joyce. If you don't stop praying, crying, this and this. Joyce, let me tell you something. Prayer that works will abate such incident from transpiring.
Are you saying prayer doesn't work?
No, I'm not saying that. Don't get me wrong, Joyce. What I'm trying to tell you is this. Prayer that works will abate such situation from happening. Now, if such situation have happened and you are now engaging God in prayer, not that God is not going to have.
This is not about the people. This is a situation on ground. When a man is out of his wits, then maybe he prays.
Joyce, that's what I'm saying. It's like as I am. Let me give you an instance as I am. I'm living in a community, and my house is there. My children are there. And something happened in that community, and the leader is still there. While, for example, I'm also affected. I can tell you that in the next 48 hours, that leader will not be on this planet Earth. I'm giving you a distance of myself.
What do you mean? Are you going to go confront the leader? Is that what you're saying?
Joyce, don't ask me. There's an adage in Yoruba that says, What I'm saying is, when some situation happens to you, when it comes to you from the front, address it. When it comes towards the back, address it. When it gets to the middle, you have to think of what you can do.
So are you saying that the governor should resign if he can't represent the people, if he cannot protect them? Is that what you're saying?
It cannot live up to responsibility. If your pack is bag and luggages, go into limbo.
All right. Well, that took a minute. Well, thank you very much for calling. 99.3 Nigeria Info. We're off on a break. When we come back, I'll be going through your WhatsApp messages. So, of course, rest assured, I'm going to be reading that. You're on the sunny side. My name is Joyce. We're 99.3 Nigeria Info. You're on the sunny side. My name is Joyce. Welcome if you have just tuned in. Oh, yeah. And before the break, we were speaking on the development happening in Kaduna. It's one of many because there are other states where kidnapping happens. It's that it's still ongoing and we're told what we're told. And then we're told to wait that the government is working on it. And then the question is, how long? I'm going to read a message here. Joyce, in as much as I'm an ardent listener to your program, I don't think you should bring up certain topics for discussion if you don't want your listeners' honest view. El Rafai is supposed to be invited for questioning by appropriate authorities for making such comments openly. Goes a long way to show he knows the kidnappers, bandits, but doesn't really care because his family have never been involved. Did the kidnappers fall from the sky? It's time we call a spade in this part of the world. Have a blessed day, Hillary. Well, thank you very much, Hillary. Except you shouldn't have butted with the first paragraph, but since you went there, let me say something. You're not asking me to accept every view and not disagree with something that I sensibly know to not be right. So we're talking about the politics around banditry, and I'm asking you to give me your opinion. You cannot then infringe on, say, as was the case, you cannot infringe on a person's personal choice. He has a right to. So that was my position. I don't even know where you're from. If your name is Hillary, if you're not from Lagos, you live in Lagos. I don't know where you're tweeting from. So let's assume you live in Lagos, but you're not from Lagos. That's my point. So imagine I told you to leave Lagos. Yeah. So let's separate it. Let's make a solid argument for what is happening in this country politically. That is the conversation. So if I disagree with something, I have a good enough head on my shoulder to know that maybe this isn't right. And I think it's okay if I say it's not right. How that makes you feel is not necessarily the objective here. And that's me trying to say, well, I don't care. But I'm trying to say I don't care in a nice way. So let's stay on the topic. Let's be honest about it. Something is happening here. Like, how long is this going to go on? In fact, to tell you that I sense that maybe there's something that people might need to do about this is the fact that El Rafai compared banditry to IPUB. She says it's like comparing apple and oranges. To be honest with you, maybe he's worth a moment. Maybe that statement is worth something. And at the risk of trying to say he's wrong, I thought, let me get your opinion about it. So, a few minutes from now, I'm going to introduce that side of the conversation, and hopefully I can hear you say what you have to say about that. Because, you see, maybe it's the way the government is interpreting the situation. That's why we're still with it. That's why it's still here. Maybe it's the interpretation. Maybe they understand it's serious. Maybe not serious enough. I have a message here. Calvin is here. I see no reason why most people are blaming El Rafai. He did what every parent should do by withdrawing his kids from school. However, he chose to live when out of office. Yeah, so it's very nuanced. It's a very tricky situation. It's like, well, you're a governor and there's kidnapping happening. You're in a position to cater to yourself and your family. But what happens to the state? This is one of many. I'm going to go to WhatsApp. Let's see what's here. Good afternoon. You say, hold on. A system that supports Almajiris makes the society decay in security and development. Those small Almajiris are now easy recruits for criminality. This is Chukwuma from Ojota. Hold on. Let me do more messages. Thank you very much. It's so sad the issue of kidnapping of anybody not to talk. It's so sad the issue of kidnapping of anybody not to talk of innocent children is horrible. And in the midst of this evil operation, some, if the children die, do you think their soul will forgive you or forgive us? I weep. All schools should be closed in the north if the government can't protect them and other parts of the state should protest. Oh, wait. Help me with your way. All schools should be closed in the north if the government can't protect them and other parts of the state protest against this evil act. All right, Moses, finally got it. Moses from Lekki, thank you. Nigeria is under-policed. The earlier the governments agreed to local policing and funded very well, the better for us. Joyce, it's Kaduna in Nigeria. Huh? Sorry, what kind of question is that? El Rufai isn't the first governor in Kaduna State. Kaduna State never had it so bad like this before now until El Rufai surfaced. El Rufai in his element. He talks recklessly and acts less. Here's the problem of the state. Thank you very much. Your name is Adeji. Adeji. Thank you. Obviously, the man in Kaduna is overwhelmed by the insecurities in the state. There is only one honorable thing to do. Resign. What's so difficult about that? In what age and time will our politicians become leaders? Very good question. Kaduna... Hold on, I'm just going to move past that. Wait, let's see. Kingsley, you have something? Kingsley, you say, I'm surprised at the way people can just... The act of the government. I think there's an error in your position, particularly the way you put it out. If you can help me, I'll appreciate it. In America, in every war situation, the FBI CEA evacuates families first. What El Rufai did is within his rights. However, I think he should have closed all schools. And if he did, we will come here and blame him again. Wait, you're saying two things. You don't want to blame him. But you see, it's a little difficult not to blame him. Actually, he cannot escape blame. It's one thing for him to say, well, I've done everything that I can. But given what's obvious, it's not enough. It's not enough. El Rufai should be proactive and decisive in nipping the menace in the bud. Your name is Amos from Adjouan. Thank you very much. Secondly, Joyce, tell me the primary purpose of the governor in the state. Very good question. Hello, let's see. Who's this now? Joyce, can you probe the sensibility of who? Picking his children from school and leave other children. Your name is Joseph. Thank you very much, Joseph. Why would he remove his child from school and leave other children in school? Very good question. I'm surprised at the way the people can justify the act of the government when its primary duty is to protect the lives and properties. El Rufai has failed, and he should go. Straightforward. Thank you very much. This is sad. They kidnapped my brother last month, and they are demanding 5 million naira from us. Your name is Vic from Igbeda, from Gbagada. All right. Oh, wow. Sorry about that. Hold on a second. There are big question marks regarding the security issues in this country. Gumi can speak with bandits, but El Rufai can pull his kids out of school because of insecurity, since he's the governor and has security information. Stopping education is the plan of Boko Haram. Why can't El Rufai complain about that? 0700-993-993-993. It's a very complex problem, but maybe the solution shouldn't be as complex. But it is. And the problem is why. And you have absolutely no idea what this says, that every Nigerian wakes up and every other day, there's a story about a missing person or persons. It's incomprehensible, 140 people. It just does not make sense. But it's happening. El-Rufai is in office. He had just enough, you know, information to withdraw his child from school. What's happening? 0700-993-993-993-01-465-7190. Let me also remind you that Gumi, I played that audio for you last week when he told Nigerians to have peace. He says, there's no difference between us and the government. Every time I go into the forest, I think he found a new preoccupation, which is going to the forest. And he certainly did not withhold, you know, the opportunity to furnish us with the information that, you know, since his preoccupation of entering the forest, he hasn't gone there alone. He's gone there with force. He's gone there with some representatives from the government. They've tried to appeal to bandits. And then he says, everyone, peace. And I can't deny that it's quite comical, if you ask me. It's peace. That was last week. Today, Nigerians wake up again to another kidnap story. The devil is in the detail. The devil is right at the heart of the detail. So I want to find out what Nigerians think about this. It's really hard to even find a part of the situation to pick out, you know, a talking point, because every part of this begs talking about, begs an immediate resolution. It begs an immediate, it's long overdue, but it's still happening. Welcome to Nigeria Info. What's your name?
Hello?
Turn off your radio.
Thank you.
Welcome. Hello. What's your name? Good afternoon,
Nigerians. My name is Dominic, and I'm calling from Isolo.
Welcome.
I have a lot to say. It's very easy for all of us right here in the West or in the South to sit down and say, let us pray and expect magic to happen in Nigeria. We are here sleeping with our eyes closed. You wake up in the morning and you can go to work and complain with your fellow Nigerians on the traffic roads. Whereas people's children are being kidnapped in the north. El-Rufai swore on the day he became a governor, he swore to protect lives and property. Until this day, till today, he has not done anything for the people of Kaduna. He had the intel. He knew that people were coming to protect, to threaten his children. He rather chose to save his own child. One child, one Nigerian, one, two, his son and
two.
His daughter.
Yeah.
He rather chose to save those two than the rest of the Kaduna citizens. What stopped him from telling the school to be shut down? And Nigerians are here telling me and justifying El-Rufai did this, or this one does that. A caller before you went on your break was talking about this crisis has been going on for years. Oga, Nigerians need to accept the fact that if you are a public officer, you have the full mandate to take responsibility of your office. If you do not perform your duties, you are not qualified. It is as simple as ABC. Why is it that in Nigeria, we don't want to do the right thing, but when we leave the shores of Nigeria, you will see things are different. And it's like as if your brain has just been brainwashed. It's like as if you just ate the forbidden fruit. Your eyes are open. And when you come back, instead of you to accept the fact, you rather not say, he's my uncle now, and they're from the same tribe. You'll be now sentimental in destroying your own economy. I am a youth. Just like every other Nigerian here, we are all striving to make sure that we get a good life for ourselves and for the country at large. But sentiment takes us nowhere. If my father, my own father, does something wrong, I'll be wise enough to call him to order in a polite manner, not with all due respect, of course. Because regardless of the fact that we are human beings, we are naturally born to make mistakes. But the fact that we come with the fact that we are all matured, maturity comes with responsibility. And for the fact that you are not ready to take up that responsibility and justify it with flimsy excuses, you are not worthy of being a man or a woman. God cursed us with one thing. Go and walk. He doesn't say go and pray. Go and walk. Other countries are better than us. Why? Because they are working.
So when you say go and work, like Nigeria now, what is Nigeria supposed to do? Because this pattern is insane.
What I'm trying to say is the Nigerian governors are not taking responsibility of the security crisis in their states. That's the blunt out fact. And nobody is holding them accountable because even the
should El Rapai should
fight by the fact that they are getting their orders from the federal government. Yes.
Should El Rapai pay ransom?
He shouldn't pay ransom. No Nigerian should pay ransom. But if by chance you want to pay ransom, go investigate the ransom. How did they get the transactions? 180 million naira was transferred to a group of Nigerians a group of men. How did they get the money? Was it by cash? Or was it by bank transfer? We are all Nigerians. Are we not educated?
Well,
how did they get
good
the
question.
Money?
Are we not educated?
Did they go to the bank and bring out a Ghana must go and just throw it into one bush and say, go and collect it there? How did they get the money? We all need to be accountable for our actions.
Okay.
You're not stupid.
Well, hopefully.
But on the fact that some people want to just justify their actions and pick up excuses, because of the truth is that some people in this country is their livelihood to eat from where they did not labor for.
All right.
They would rather want to go and steal from people and justify to the public. Ha. See, where we are in this part of the world, it is like we are still joking around.
All right. So we're going to hear other people speak. Thank you very much for calling. I thoroughly do appreciate your contribution. You're on the sunny side. Welcome. How are you?
Yeah. Good afternoon.
Welcome. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Emmanuel.
Okay.
I'm calling from Lekki.
Okay. Go ahead.
Concerning the discourse about the Kaduna issue, I want to ask you, Joycey, what is the total landmark of Kaduna? Where is the military base? Where is it located? The Air Force base, where is it located? All these things are in Kaduna. Is Kaduna another Sambisa forest? I laugh. Goodbye.
Well, it's not even funny. I don't even see the laughing angle to this gist, man. This is horrifying. Hello, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hello, good morning. Good afternoon, Joyce.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Nigeria Info. We're talking about this thing, and I don't know what to call it.
Okay, my
it's name deeper is than banditry. Welcome.
Okay, by the way, my name is Azubike. I'm calling from Olindo Shodi.
Welcome to the show.
Let me tell you the truth about all this insecurity of issue in this country. Actually, I may not blame the governors, rather,
okay,
I will blame the president.
Okay.
Because the president is the chief commander of armed forces.
Mm-hmm.
He controls all the police and all the military apparatus in Nigeria. So, if that is some people are blaming RFI, blaming governors, I could remember what Governor Yusuf Wike of River State spoke once or two times ago about insecurity. And if you watch, every commissioner of police were distributed by the Inspector General of Police,
yeah,
Abuja, to other parties of the federation. And if we are talking about security issues, we should hold those people accountable.
Mm-hmm.
We should not divide it to the governor. But I thought that we can be able to divide it to the governor. Until when we started having state police, which the governors should be controlled by their security agencies in their state, that is where we can be able to blame the governors. But as I'm talking to you now, RFI does not have anything to be blamed. Rather, we blame President Muhammadu Buhari.
Yeah, but he's the governor of the state. Do you understand that?
See, what I understand this government is saying in Nigeria is that we call them executive governors. That executive governor, to my understanding, is to other different ministry. It's not about for security issue. The only thing that the governor can only react is anything concerning state affairs.
Well, this is a state affair. In fact, this is partly both state and a Nigerian problem at this point.
I know that it's a Nigerian problem as a whole, but it seems that the power of the security is not in their hands.
Mm.
What do they want them to do? So the only person that we can really hold accountable is President Muhammadu Buhari.
How can the people hold the leaders accountable if you say the only person we can hold accountable? Because it would appear that if we're holding someone, we might need to hold him a little bit more tightly to draw his attention to what is happening.
Okay, now let me come to the point now. Do you know that's happening in Kaduna now? If LGOFI should go ahead to report the Commissioner of Police that this is what is happening in my state, do you know that the Commissioner of the Police will first of all take the permission from the IG? And the IG will also report to the president. And the president will not give him the...
Before we deal with insecurity, you think that's what's happening?
That's what's said in Nigeria, you know. Because of IG cannot do our police's capacity. Look at what happened at this shooting last time. I think everybody is waiting for the president to speak. It's not because of the issue of security.
Right.
Why can't we hold Tawolu responsible for Lekki shooting? But everybody is waiting for President to speak, for we to know the action that he take.
So, well, thank you.
Let us leave all those things. We should also
No. Unfortunately, we can't leave it. This is happening too much. The consistency is alarming.
Rather, let us protest about the Muhammadu Buhari for not securing the life of property.
All right.
Nigeria.
Thank you very much for calling. 99.3 Nigeria Info. We're off on a break. You can see this needs a lot of mental work and physical work. Hopefully we find our way around dealing with this when we come back. There's more to talk about on Nigeria Info.
You are listening to your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Sorry, I lost you. If you make it back, we'll be here. Hello, the sunny side. Welcome. My name is Joyce. We're Nigeria Info. What's your name? Hello? How are you doing? Good afternoon to you. Welcome to Nigeria Info. Sorry, I lost you, by the way. Hopefully you make it back. Hello, Nigeria Info. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Welcome, lady. What's your name?
I'm calling. My name is Ochiko. I'm calling from Lagos.
All right, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, so First of all, the first thing I want to say, you said something some days ago that we shouldn't say things without facts. One of the facts we have right now is that the government is aware of these things before they happen, which means they have informants, which means they are in some way involved in what's going on. Because he knew ahead to go and take his children. That's very evident that he knew about it happening ahead of time. Before we even question, he should have defended. The question is, how did he get that information? Which means, most likely, they are aware of this thing before it happens. So this is not a bandit case. This is a political thing going on. And what we need to question is, what is the way forward? How do we keep these people accountable? Because we can keep talking about it on this show over and over and over.
Mm.
But that man will still remain there in power. He will not resign. His children will be okay. And those other people may even lose their children's lives. What is the way forward? What can we do?
So what do you suppose? Have you thought about that? Because really, that's why I actually brought the conversation up.
Well, I feel like one of the things, if we actually go and protest again, it's not really going to work. But I think the youth should come together and think of it that way, not protesting, but think of an intellectual way. We are a lot of educated Nigerians, especially those abroad. If we can find a way, especially those that are abroad and safe and know that their lives are guaranteed, if they can find a way to come together and find a way to sue these people, we need to find new laws and new policies. And I don't know, we need to get more involved.
That's
even down to small political party meetings. Let people start going for these things. And for example, this new one that they've increased the amount of money for election campaign and all that. We should go and start fighting these things, not just by going on the street and protesting. Because it's obvious they don't value our lives, they will still shoot again. So what we should do is to find a way to... There are intelligent Nigerian heads, but even in Yale, Oxford, a lot of the people that they graduate are Nigerians. We should come together and find a solution. And I'm sure a lot of Nigerians in diaspora don't like what's going on in their country. So we need to reach out to Nigerians that have power.
All right.
And they just need to come together and help.
All right. Thank you.
The people are helpless.
Well, maybe not so much. Well, thank you very much. I do appreciate that. Quite a contribution, if you ask me. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Very fine. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome, Ebuka. Go ahead.
Listen, this very thing. You just imagine if the IPOB began to kidnap in the East. Then here in the West, you know, we have the case of robberies. And you now come to be people robbing on double lights, you know, banks and everything. I laughed when you suddenly said something that banditry entrepreneur. And this thing is going on and we'll keep rubbing it at the back. Shegumi goes on with these guys, talk with them and come back and give us feedback. And parents are crying over their children. Then our governor is telling us that he retrieved also his first thing. He said that he promised, it wasn't his campaign promises, that his children will school in public school, fine and good. Then what are you doing with your executive? The informers, the intelligence you've heard, what are you doing with them? What is your plan to stop this banditry? Now, Joyce, the grassroots are detection, like we'll talk of Anna the Khan, Sunday Boho the other time, and these guys are doing robbing this at our face. Security challenges, food we have here is costly. Why? Because we have banditry. Because when it touches the eyes, it touches the nose, it touches everywhere. One Nigeria as it stands, food importation for the north is been a problem on its own.
All right.
Now, oil in the Niger Delta is another thing. And we're in the 21st century, we're trying to go the way of technology. The country is sitting on gunpowder and nobody is trying to sit and dialogue and see for a way forward for the betterment of the country.
We're hoping this is enough awareness, you know, to get people to understand that something must be done before the worst occurs. Well, thank you very much for calling.
Honestly, it beats the heart that most of us in Lagos State wake up, we go to work and we keep hearing this news and it seems like nothing is happening.
Okay.
How do we go from here?
Well, that's a question I'm asking you. It doesn't quite appear you have an answer for us. I want to quickly, you know, share another angle to this conversation, which I think is also necessary and worth our attention. It is the fact that, El Rufai also believes that bandits cannot be treated like IPOB. 99.3 Nigeria Info, I think, is necessary. I'll just go to the gist of his opinion. He says, Kanu's case is different from that of the northern bandits because the IPOB leader challenges the sovereignty and the authority of the state and incites violence. He refers to his own country as a zoo, in contrast to the bandits who are just collections of independent criminals. It is a business for them. It is not a case of Nigeria must break up. In his words, I was very happy when Nnamdi was arrested because first, he jumped bail, jeopardizing his shorties. Secondly, a person that challenges the sovereignty and the authority of a state and incites violence, he refers to his own country as a zoo. This should be a message to all these separatists challenging the authority of Nigerians, of the Nigerian state, to be very, very careful. And he says the people who feel that the government is given... He says, the federal people have accused the federal government of giving preferential treatment to northern bandits. That, you know, their basis of comparison is pretty much a situation of comparing apples and oranges. Governor El Rufai, this is pretty much his position. He says, well, for those accusing the federal government of giving preferential treatment to the northern bandits, that there is no basis for comparison between such gunmen and the rearrest of the leader of the indigenous people of Biafra. So apparently, it would appear that, you know, IPOB is a greater threat to our national security in comparison to what we hear, these things that we hear where, you know, the victims or those unarmed are further victimized. Well, maybe I shouldn't refer to them as victims. No, these are Nigerians, yeah? So we say that those who are vulnerable are the ones who are preyed on, like the soft targets. And he feels, well, you can't quite compare them because, you know, these guys, these bandits are just businessmen. But businessmen were given their operations, or during the course of their operations, we have reported deaths. I mean, first of all, what does the state, what's the state's position on banditry? And at what point does this become criminal? At what point? At what point do we say, you know what? No. But it would appear that there's a language, there is a certain, there's a different toolbox needed to understand banditry. And it would appear that the approach towards banditry, and I'm really just trying to point you towards what's obvious here, you know, like the approach towards banditry is a little, I mean, yeah, the state knows it's bad. They call it bad. They call these guys criminals. They say that they are bandits, but that's where they've left it. While they, you know, further try to find ways to deal with insecurity in the nation. But it would look at what we keep talking about every day. And then there is Sunday Igboho, which happened, you know, over the weekend. And how did Sunday Igboho become, you know, someone to reckon with? He said, well, don't come to my village and kill my people. Well, if you cannot come here and be peaceful, then leave. And then a few days later, well, a few weeks later, a few months later, we hear that his property gets invaded in the crack of night. And El-Rufai says, well, look, you have to look at this, I don't know, politically? Well, one is a threat to authority, the other isn't. And maybe I should remind every one of us listening to radio that there has been a pattern. I mean, the last 1 year, 2 years, there's been a pattern. The last few months, kidnapping has become something. I read something in the news and I refused to read it. I think I just read the headline and practically just glossed over. It was about students who threatened to kidnap a principal of a school. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. I want to see what you understand by this comparison. And evidently, one is a greater threat. And that's the truth. Now, the question is, in your opinion, which is? Because the one which is a greater threat needs to be dealt with. Look, you have to understand that tomorrow we could wake up and someone else been kidnapped. Like, that's the reality right now. Because today we haven't established policies and laws and we're not having enough force to contend and push back and totally obliterate this pattern. We're not erasing this pattern. There's nothing that says, well, this pattern is erased. We're not seeing that happen. So the guess is, well, tomorrow, you know, you just open punch and then they tell you, you've carried five people. Welcome to Nigeria Info. Let's talk. Good afternoon to you. Welcome, Victor. You're on the sunny side.
Hello, Joyce. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. We're happy to have you.
Yeah, my name is Victor. I'm calling from Victoria.
Welcome, Victor.
Yeah, talking about El-Rufai and what happened in the Kaduna City. Are you with me, Joyce?
I am, please. Go ahead.
Yeah. Now, is it possible for you to set an example to students without a paper and a biro?
With sorry, what did you say about paper and biro?
Is it possible for you to ask a student to write an exam without a paper?
Ah, okay, 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 okay.
The answer is obvious. Now, you make El-Rufai the governor of a state. He has no power over the commissioner of police. He has no power over the military. He has no power over the Air Force. That how do you expect it? Even if he gets the intelligence, the best he can do is pass it to the commissioner of police. Is it possible for El-Rufai to arm himself and go to the bandits and start shooting them? It's not possible. So I think what Nigerians should start yearning for now is state police. Let the governors be in control of their state, of the security apparatus. Because, okay, we are all criticizing El-Rufai now. What do we want him to do? He cannot give the commissioner of police order, okay, go and get these guys from me. It's not possible. So I think we should focus more on reforming our laws than criticizing the governor. On the other hand, as a parent, if you hear or get an intel that your child will be killed, would you as a parent...
Let me ask you, you say we should focus our energy on...
More on reforming our laws.
Rather than criticizing the governors.
Yes.
And you know the truth, you could have had a point. Then the question is, who is at the forefront of reforming laws? Lawmakers, isn't it?
The lawmakers, yes.
So what's your point when you say we cannot criticize them? People are dying. Do you even understand that?
I am talking about the governor precisely. I think we should amend our laws in such a way that the governors will have absolute power to control the security apparatus.
So what should the people do? Write a letter to the governor, go out and protest, pray about it? Like, what should the people... Because at this point, we need to talk about how to get out of this. Because something is happening. Yeah.
How to get out of this now, quickly, is the fact that the reform that is going on, the reform that we just... concluded the SS agenda. What did the people do? Nothing. How many people attended? Okay, because we want to amend the constitution. People sat at home. Nobody was doing anything about it. Nobody was. It's just few people that went for that meeting. It was an opportunity for us to actually make our voice known. So the quickest thing to do now is to amend the constitution, Joyce.
Okay.
In such a way that the governors will have absolute power to control the security apparatus in their state.
Okay. Well, that's cool. thank you very much for your point. I do appreciate that. 99.3 Nigeria Info, we have Benjamin here. Welcome, Benjamin. You're a first-time caller. We're happy to hear from you.
Yeah, Joyce, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. We're happy to hear from you.
Thank you. Yeah, my contribution is the Sheikh Gumi said... They need to employ the cleric to be able to talk to the bandits. So why haven't government thought in that direction in order to stop all this? Because the government does not have the way to do to fight the bandits and to secure the people. Why don't you get the cleric to do that?
Okay, so you feel if we put some clerics on the government payroll, they can help to temper the passions of the bandits. You think that would work?
Yes, it's a simple logic that they're supposed to do.
You really think that logic is simple? Is a logic sensible? You understand? If you put people in charge of the minds, if you put a leader in charge of the minds of people and pay him money... I mean, the logic of that. It's like saying, well, you see, let me see. I mean, you have a group of people who are easily manipulated, who don't think for themselves, who have no education. Yeah. Then you put a leader above them and pay the leader money and say, well, tell your people when to sit and when to stand. Well, the day the leader gets angry or the day he gets overthrown, what happens?
Then is it better to pay ransom?
Well,
over
I don't.
The lives of the children.
Well, so that's the point. And there's the fact that it's happening continuously. And then the question is, well, should Nigerians just accept this as a new normal? The way we're supposed to now accept COVID? We just wake up and they've kidnapped somebody. Another day.
We have failed. You understand? We have failed to protect our people. And the power given to the government is to protect the people.
So,
and the power is being misused. Look at kids. I don't know how many of them have kids out there. I do have a kid. How do I protect my child?
Okay.
That's my take on this.
Well,
thank you, Joyce.
Well, thank you very much. The harder you look into this, the more you wonder, so what else is happening behind the curtains? Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Nigeria Info.
Yeah, good afternoon, ma.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, come on, Kechukwu.
We're happy to have you.
A.K.A. Kobokoma, for the first time, I am supporting L5.
Why?
The other man that called before this man have said it all. He doesn't have the power to control the police. He doesn't have the power to control army. He doesn't have the power to control the local government chairman. Why are we blaming him for? Everything is under the Abuja. Everything is under the president. But despite that, he broke my uncle's house in 2004 when I was in Abuja that made me come to Otta. But this one now, we don't go kill him.
Okay.
It's not a problem, you know?
Yeah, sure, I'm with you.
When he was minister of NCC, he broke my uncle's house now. Then he made me run from Abuja, come out.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, I'm with you.
And what I want to tell you is, the problem of this country is National Assembly. Let them do make we do this reconstruction, or make we have state police. But when you say the type of state police who we go get to, nine governor go they control them, go they use them to fight their own political opponents. They must have task force that will checkmate the flaws and the mistakes of the state police. So concerning these people that they are abducting, you cannot abduct my daughter or my child. You go say make a no pay. Now, since over 2 months now, where our lawmakers have passed laws, anybody who pay ransom, they will jail him 7 years and 14 years.
Yeah.
What are they doing to stop this kidnapping? Hello?
We're with you. Go ahead.
What are they doing to stop this kidnapping now? I don't know what I'm saying.
I mean, you're asking a very valid question, and I hope they have an answer for us.
So let me say them go just talk like that. Do this now. Any IM that my sister went to college and the slump and died the 1st of March, and I buried her 20th of March. What is the essence of any IM? And I see banditry, Boko Haram, henchmen killing. That's why I have bought 50 envelope and 50 writing back. I got the right letter. Please help me. Make them block my line so that I can look at hypertension. Make them block my line. Thank you very much.
Well, that would be fine. Oh dear. Hello, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. We're happy to have you. What's your name?
This is Mohammed calling from Kaduna.
Well, thank you very much, Mohammed, for calling from Kaduna. We're happy to hear from you.
Okay, Mohammed. Joyce, as a Nigerian, I love your show.
Oh, thank you very much.
However, I have some reservations.
Okay.
Yeah, like your show yesterday, you were, with due respect, you were almost conducting a referendum on air. You said people should choose whether Nigeria should continue, whether one nation or divided nation. In my own opinion, I believe that is a very... That topic should not be carved that way because it will not forge our unity. When you say whether one nation or the other, it will naturally spring up a lot of sentiment. You know that. And then for today's topic, you made mention of, you talk of Sunday Igboho, that Sunday Igboho just said people should protect, don't kill my people. That is the only thing Sunday Igboho did, and they went after him. Sunday Igboho said, there is nothing like Nigeria if you're a nation. That is treason. That is clear treason.
Secondly,
he carry arms. He bear arms in his house. If all of us carry arms, if Fulani like, let them enter Kaduna or any city in the north and carry arms and see if federal government will not go after them.
I think you have me misunderstood. I was referring to the development that led to where we are.
Come again.
I was referring to the situation that led to where we are right now. The situation that led to, say, for example, his house being invaded. How did the situation start? You know, yeah. So I was like, well, the first thing we heard about him, and I don't know him, I never, until he said, well, Fulanis are killing, the herdsmen are killing my brothers. Don't kill them. That was the first time we ever heard anything about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my point is, I was referring to where the situation started from.
Okay.
Now, as for yesterday's topic, I'm not necessarily a certified psychologist, but usually most of my topics, I try to probe the psychology of the person, of the people. I ask you questions to find out whether you are thinking about the things you're saying. So yesterday's topic was exactly that. Because some people say, well, let's go. And to be honest with you, I'm not saying that we should go. I am saying that we have heard people say we should go. And what I don't want to deny it. So I come on the show and I say, if you say let's go, have you thought about the cost of it? Did you hear me compare our development to China? Exactly. So I'm not saying Nigeria should develop. I'm saying that we should understand that there's a price to pay and that we are better off if we work together, every tribe. I mean, imagine what you from the north can bring to the game. Imagine what I can bring from the east. Imagine what the guy from the west can bring. So we're better off together. But we cannot deny the fact that people have divisive opinions and we have to talk about those things.
Okay, what I'm saying for today's topic is that you can be more elaborate, because you know your audience, particularly a lot of people, are not very educated. So many you live on social media, what they hear on social media is what they take into. So they don't even know the knowledge, they don't know the legal implication of our action as citizens. If anybody says there is nothing like Nigeria,
Yoruba nation, that enough is not allowed, is not, is enough for GSS to go after you.
Yeah.
You are not supposed to say that because you have already undermined the sanctity and sovereignty of the nation.
Thank you.
That statement is treasonable.
Yeah.
And when you bear arms in the name of protecting another person, you are not authorized to do that. Nobody, the only person that is legally authorized to bear arms is the military and police.
Yeah.
These are the people that are authorized by law.
So thank you very much for even... So let me ask you then. You know, we've seen herders. Maybe all of them, the herdsmen, they have arms. And you're talking about the legality of bearing arms.
No. Government should go after them.
My point exactly... So that was why I brought this topic where El-Rufai says, we're comparing apples to oranges when we say IPOB and banditry. These guys are businessmen. But I cannot imagine that a herdsman will come to your father's farm in Kaduna.
A businessman. That is very reckless from him as a governor. I disagree with if he says that, that is very reckless and very irresponsible of him. I'm sorry to say that.
Well, it's the truth. There's really nothing to apologize for. People are dying.
It's wrong for him to say that. It's wrong.
Okay.
What we're saying is this. The bandits themselves, I do not know. I'm actually a security president.
Okay.
I know of only day before yesterday,
200
bandits are killed. Killed 200 in Niger. 300 were also killed in Katsina. Katsina, this is led by a retired general. They entered the bush. It is there. You can Google it. You see the news. Just day before yesterday, I was in Katsina. I was in Niger. It was a very cheering news.
You say 200 bandits were killed? Because we need to hear more of these stories.
Just last 4 days. We don't talk about that.
Well, we don't hear it. So thank you for telling us.
You know, when people talk in Lagos, they think as if these bandits, people are romancing them here. Nobody's romancing bandits. They are killing them. They are killing Boko Haram. If you know what Airport is doing in Maiduguri today.
Yeah.
Every day they are killing these people. So if you say, put the same energy in towards Nnamdi Kanu or somebody, you know, that is very unfair to the government because they are killing them every day. And then we're after them, and by God's grace, we shall get after them.
My friend, do you understand how difficult this reality is? You have to understand, I'm not even in the north, but you have to understand that I cannot imagine in Nigeria where my brother in the north wakes up today and bandits kill his wife. I don't understand that. And so we keep talking about this. There's no week we're not hearing something like that. There's no day and somebody's not dying.
It's a challenge. Nigeria has never invested in security for the past 40 years. We must get that very clear. Nigeria never invested. Yeah, I'm telling you the fact. We have never invested well in security. We are believing in peace. So everybody wants to sleep. The successive government for the past 30 years, if you look at defense funding, what has been earmarked for funding for military equipment, but police, we are highly under police. Overnight, these people, a lot of bandits you see are foreigners. They are from Chad, Niger, and other people. They started like that. Some of them are also Nigerians. Some of them are Nigerians. But it is when they saw there was no action, no measurable action from government.
Yeah.
From Zamfara, small. The thing escalated. And they now noticed, this Nigeria that we're thinking is Nigeria is big. We'll come and do robbery and go away. Nobody will come after us.
Yeah.
We are highly under the military is overstretched. It's a challenge. And government is actually working. And we know what they are doing here in the north. They are killing a lot of them every day.
I just Googled the report. You say 200 bandits killed. I can't quite find it on Google, you see? So we need to hear more of these things.
No, the issue is this. You know, maybe you know on Google. It's actually on. I'm telling you from Niger State. This happened just before yesterday.
My brother, I believe you. But you see, we need to hear these things. It's not in the news. I can't find it on Google. Maybe I need to search better when you're done with me.
I don't know how I can reach you on email. I can send you the pictures and even what has happened. The governor has applauded the effort.
Beautiful.
It's not enough. It's
beautiful.
Everyday effort.
Beautiful.
It's every day. Nobody is sleeping. In Niger, I'm from Kebbi State. You know the children that were abducted.
Yeah.
You know how army went after them? A lot of...
I lost you. Look, and I was really getting to enjoy the conversation. Well, I need to confirm that story about 200 bandits killed about 3 days ago. And I really appreciate his calling in. I just hope that that there is a Nigeria where every child is safe, every man and woman is secure. We're off on a break. We'll be right back. My name is Joyce. You're on the sunny side.